together, and then he created the drainage system over there. So I don't know how I could explain it. If you see over there, it's really pretty good drainage system. And then he was working at the Northern Mechanic, I think, and then he put lots of the big boulder of huge rocks under the lot, and then 3 inches of gravel put on, and then this water easy to go through there, and then to collect in the drainage system. He built like that before.
So you can see I've added the contour areas. Those are already in black, but they are 10-foot contour lines, and they pretty much mimic exactly what the city has in our records. So you'll see that this is 110-foot elevation. This bottom one is 90-foot elevation, and a little bit further down, you've got 80-foot. So all the way across that one lot, you've got a pretty significant change.
Sorry for the the parking on duplex. The renters are putting, because of the short lane, is a little bit the other way, and there is a space, and then renters putting the cars like that way. But I can recommend and tell them on a contract, renting contract, need to put in a sideway and push it in. I could tell and try like that way. Sorry for that.
Yeah, it's obvious here that the main basis of our discussion tonight has just really been that easement and making sure that really it's comfortable for both the duplex and then the proposed lot to be comfortable. I feel as though if NK abides by the conditions set by planning, it'll be a little bit more comfortable, not the most comfortable situation for getting back to that lot 3B. If there was another way to access it, like we've been talking about, that'd be awesome, but unfortunately that's looking a little too steep for you to build a driveway. I'd be interested in seeing if we could do stairs, but as long as these conditions are met, I think that the 20-foot easement should be just fine.
Yeah, go ahead, Travis.
Yeah, so the 20-foot, just to be clear here, I'm looking at my little map, 20 feet, is that from the edge of the building to the edge of the property line? Is that what the actual measurement?
So the actual measurement there is, again, margin of error, that's on our in our GIS system. There is a small gap between the building and the edge of the easement. It's roughly a foot and a half. So that 20 foot effectively does come pretty much right up to the edge of the building. And it does start on the property line and it comes into the yard. So, it does, make a significant kind of chunk in there.
Right.
And that was the basis for the recommendation from planning for a 15-foot.
Sorry, there's a delay. The name was up to you there. Thomas.
No worries.
Yeah, I see that it looks like there's up the electrical meter, so that makes sense that there was a little buffer there because you got some stuff kind of sticking off the house a little bit. I guess I have a hard time believing that I don't have the subdivision rules in front of me here. You know, again, I don't think this would be an issue if he wasn't asking for a subdivision of the lot, like I think that that 20 foot would be acceptable, but I think I gosh I can't remember, but like somewhere I did read when if you're building a subdivision or subdividing, which is that's what this is, that the rules that the access had to be I thought there was some sort of buffer off a building. I'm thinking you just subdividing and have your road like a foot and a half off somebody's house. I kind of feel like find that hard to believe that that's not in there somewhere, but that's really my only issue with this, and I honestly I'm not sure I can support it just because of that, because I put myself in the shoes of a future homeowner right there, and I think that's kind of a deal breaker for me. Everything else seems acceptable except for that. But I guess if somebody pointed out, like Jamie said, she said she didn't think it was non-compliant, and I suppose if it is compliant, then I would support it. But I feel like somewhere, I don't know, Thomas, if you could figure out a way to reference that. Or
I'm looking at our subdivision design standards right now.
I hate to put you on the spot, but I hate to look this up later and then realize, oh man, we totally botched this one, and you know, and I hate to do it, you know, and then the next guy is like, well, wait a minute, you did it for this, so I'm just going to chop this up and put driveways next to every single house in the whole show lane here. Because you let the one guy do it. And so just to kind of make sure we're going to set a trend here, as you said, there were no other lots that were this small, except what I heard you say earlier.
Right, so
kind of the first neighborhood.
In most cases, when we're dealing with these kinds of subdivisions, with the flagpole lots, typically the flagpole itself is part of the other piece of property, and the remaining portion itself ends up being roughly 6,000 square feet. It's not normal, at least for us, that we end up doing a easement across property like that to create the flagpole. Although there are, again, there's examples of it existing in town, it is something that the planning department typically will recommend against, but in this case there's physically just not as much space. So that kind of leads to this kind of discourse here where we're trying to discuss this lot and this access.
Yeah, and then to Ian's point,
nope, still going through. But as far as access goes, our only requirements are a 60-foot frontage on a public right of way, and every lot shall have shall front or abut on a publicly dedicated street. So unfortunately, I mean ultimately it code is not very helpful in this situation. And again, so
I'm not looking for reasons to say no. I'm just trying to make, like I said, I want to make sure if we're going to do this, that the trend that you know we're non-compliant or something, we can realize it.
Well, just a couple things here, Travis. On kind of what you're talking about. I don't disagree with you on putting the driveway in like that. I do also feel similarly about that, but I do feel like he wouldn't have built the initial structure in the place. I feel like he was doing this because he felt like what he was doing, and he did his due diligence to check and make sure it was okay. And, you know, context is one thing. But I don't really like the idea of it being that close to a house, but I find it hard to support it if he initially went through that and felt like he got the support of the planning department in the beginning to build like this. And then also, if there's nothing that we can find in the code that says there's anything against this, then I would have to be in favor of it. As long as I think some of these conditions are met. I mean, if we can set some conditions here to help with that, then maybe we can, you know, make it work.
Just to additionally draw your attention, I have single family duplex lots between 6,000 and 10,000 square feet, specific to these lots. This is, I think, might be what you're thinking of. Section A is, if determined by the Department of Public Works to be warranted due to existing topography, a note should be added that a minimum 9-foot by 20-foot approach shall be provided with a slope of 5% or less at the foot of the driveway. Anticipated locations of the approach should be identified. B, parking areas shall be identified and indicate full compliance with off-street parking requirements. So those two in combination are really what we're focusing on. And again, really what it boils down to, the 9-foot by 20-foot approach does not really apply in this case, but it does give you an idea that that, you know, those are the kind of dimensions that are expected for the driveway at a minimum. And that's why we're kind of recommending a relief from that for that 15-foot. And that gives the property owner, whoever that may be, of the duplex, a little bit more effective rights. You have to consider, you're effectively giving, you know, it's a 65,000 square foot lot, 6,500 square foot lot. But that 20 by 93 foot portion is effectively being given to the property owner behind them. And you're effectively reducing that 6,500 square foot lot by the difference there. So that.
Well, you made.
I don't know if anyone else has anything else to add. This is kind of a tough one. Like, I see both sides of the coin.
No, I just was going to say that I agree with what Ian said earlier, and that, yeah, there are some issues here, but he's done his due diligence, and I feel like it's not inconsistent with what's happened in the past, so I support it.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to have a vote on this.
I'll second.
No, we don't want to do that. Sorry.
You don't need a motion for a vote, but
okay, so we just have a vote?
If discussion has come to a conclusion, then you can call for a vote, yes. It sounds like NK has something to add.
Can I say something? So I see the... Because my idea of strong house building, like the duplex building, is more linked to south to north because of less surface to hit the south and north wind. But if 5 years ago, at that time, if I knew this become like problem, I could build like other way, you know, and then more like it's like 54 or foot, like 28 by 54, this duplex, and 54 surface, like more south wind could catch and then create more space there. But that's the, I thought first is the safety, then I built like that way. But I made sure with the planning department was made sure it's legal. Then once it's ruled in the rule frame, I thought it's fine. But I understand the the people's feeling, people's could complain comes out, but the people's behavior or feeling is in the rule of law. So that's my point. But the at that time and here, still it's in the rule, but the I'll make sure, again, when I build more, I'll make sure it's like in the rule. Also, in the rule, there is people's feeling, people behavior should consider too.
Yeah, and again, to reiterate, planning, you know, we consult with applicants. We ensure that, you know, we can explain to them what our rules are and how things fit. And again, the building as designed, you know, originally did fit within what was planned and developed. And we did, again, include, you know, that lot in the back. The 20-foot easement, again, it's a little bit bigger than what we're recommending. But the reality is, yeah, it within the rules, within everything, it does fit. But it does have those external issues. And that's why, you know, we make that judgment to add those conditions to try and alleviate those external condition issues that are outside of exactly what's in code, the word of code, the letter of the law. If it doesn't, I guess, create too much confusion, I could recommend or open up the possibility, as opposed to having a subdivision doing conditional use for a third unit on that lot, if that, but that would, you know, preclude him from really having a subdivision in the future, and we'd basically end up kicking this discussion down the road if he ever wanted to sell a portion of it. It would be a spot zone, so we wouldn't do a rezoning. We would do a conditional use permit, and that would allow us to add more effective or direct conditions to the future one-unit building. However, again, if he wants to subdivide and sell off that one-unit building, that would result in exactly this conversation just later on down the road. So it's kind of a Band-Aid rather than... And then just one more, I guess, clarification. Planning department won't ever say, don't come to the planning commission with an application. That's not our job. We can recommend ways to work within code. We can recommend that something might not be ready for a planning commission. But if at the end of the day, if somebody wants to apply for something, it's going to get here. You know, I know we did work with NK, and I know, again, we put that planning determination in there so that he had the little bit extra space in the front there for his building. So, you know, there are things that we've discussed this lot before, and that is definitely certainly something for you guys to take into consideration as well. And like I said, you know, it does fit the letter of the law, but it also does impact the neighborhood. And that's why it's here at Planning Commission.
Okay. Is there any other discussion on that? Are we ready to take a vote?
Yep, let's do it.
Okay. We'll do a roll call. Swangle. Marquez?
Yes.
Bagley?
Yes.
And Hatfield?
Yes.
Okay. So that resolution is approved with conditions 4-2-0.
Okay.
Okay, we have no items for our work session. That concludes our new business because 2305 has been removed. If you have any other announcements or anything?
No, looks like meeting's adjourned at 7:27.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Travis, for calling in. Hopefully.